Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Let the truth set you free.
You can't handle the truth.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
No. I am the father.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
I don't want to brag, but I will. I was in the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
What is that?
Hasta la vista, baby.
Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us on the Creative Control Movie Podcast. We are back for another episode, and this week we are talking the top 10 movies of 2023. Joining me today from the Creative Control team, we have Andreas. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. It's just me and you.
It's just the two of us. It's a pleasure to have you on, man, and we wish you could have you on more, but we know you're a busy man and in high demand. So we appreciate your time today. But we've been talking movies for the past 12 months back and forth on our WhatsApp group. We've given our list of the worst movies in our last episode.
Yeah. So
now we're here to talk about the top 10. So if you are new to the show, or whether you're new or returning, the way we kind of do our top 10 list, and because this is going to be a sort of like 10 up to 1, we're going to give our number 10. So I'm going to give my number 10, Andreas's. We're going to give our picks. We're going to make a combined top 10 ultimately. So we'll both go through our individual lists, but then we'll come up with a combination of our movies together to give a total top 10 list. Amrita from the group, she's also sent through her list as well. So we're going to try and give some of her films some attention and some love as well. So she might get one or two spots on this list as well. It's on reflection, it was actually a bit of a tougher choice than I originally thought it was for me. But we're going to find out what we're talking about. So just before we move on, first of all, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And if you haven't already, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe to our YouTube channel to check out the video version. The video version is also available on Spotify, if you didn't know. And you obviously can get the audio version there, and you can pick up our podcast from any major podcast platform. So thank you very much, as always. Right, Andreas, as you are the guest, I'm going to let you go first, buddy. So can you give me your number 10 pick for your top 10 films of 2023?
Okay, let's go. First of all, let me say I'm really hyped to join you on this one, because it's a really good one as well. So yeah. I love making lists. It's like, I think I've got a little bit of an OCD about it. Every year I make a list. I've got my list going back to 1984. Not really, but mentally I have. But I have lists for the past probably 10 years. So in my number 10 place, this film came out earlier in the year. It just grabbed everyone's attention. It was just fun beginning to end. And that is John Wick 4. It was a wild ride in the cinema. My only negative was it was a bit too long, but I've got that problem with many films this year, not just that one. But honestly, I was rewatching it the other day. The fight choreography is something crazy, man. Not just the choreography, the way it's shot, the sort of like you can see what's going on in every fight, and they just keep pushing the limits. From number one, number two, number three, now number four, and they still find these inventive ways, to show the gung-fu, the fighting, and the way the film was lit, just everything. It was just juicy, and I love Keanu Reeves so much. He's like a personal hero to me, both on screen and off screen. It got ridiculous in some places. They've obviously pushed the laws of physics a bit, but you just, you just got to go with it, and it deserves its spot. I'm sure it's in a lot of people's top 10.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of action.
Yeah, it's definitely in mine. I've got it higher on my list.
Okay.
It's at number 6 for me, John Wick 4. Like you say, you just keep, there is something different about each one, and that's what I like about it. So in this one in particular, there's, obviously two things that spring to mind is we have the over-the-head shot where he's going around with that fire shotgun and it's moving from room to room. Just insane, and it's really took us back because Sasha. Yeah. I was watching it with Sasha and a few people, and there is like this fire shotgun in Call of Duty, which we play, just totally reminded us of that, and it was just like insane. And then just the fight on the steps, every time you think he's getting to the top, he gets knocked down again. And there were moments I was holding my breath, and it just looks so painful the way that, you know, it's all proper stunts, you know, it's not, there's nothing not practical about that. You know, when you watch the making of and you just see him falling down these stairs, it's insane. It is a fantastic movie, and yeah, I really, really enjoyed it.
And then the final thing that I really liked about it is the way it slowed down for that final sort of showdown between Keanu Reeves and Donnie Yen, right? Yeah, Donnie Yen. The way I mean, that was just like poetry. So yeah, loved it.
So for my number 10 pick, it was a film that I didn't know anything about until I saw the trailer for the sequel in the cinema towards the end of the year. And that's The Three Musketeers, Part One, D'Artagnan. This was a real surprise to me. And yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was just like a swashbuckling adventure. It kind of took me back to sort of like that first Pirates of the Caribbean type film, you know, and it's just like, you know, has some nice humor in it, charm. The sets were fantastic. The costumes, the fighting was great. Yeah, and it just kind of took me back. So it's obviously a retelling of that classic tale. But it's all French, so it's a French movie, so everyone's speaking French, it's subtitled, but there's lots of twists in it, and yeah, this on-screen chemistry was great, Eva Green in it was fantastic, and yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. It's the first one, Part One, is available if you're a Sky customer, it's on Sky Movies. You might have to go to some other streaming services if you haven't got that for what it is. But yeah, I missed Part Two at the end of the year for the cinema, so I'm definitely going to have to catch that when it comes out. But yeah, that made my number 10 spot. Did you manage to see it?
I didn't see it, but I've heard good things now from you and from other people. Is it French? Is it a French film?
Yeah.
Is
it in French language? French film. Mm-hmm.
So it's subtitles?
Yeah, yeah, all subtitled. Mm-hmm.
So Eva Green's talking in French.
Yeah, I think she's got some French heritage or something. So,
I'll be checking it out.
Definitely. Andreas, what is your number 9 pick?
So my number 9 is a film that came out on Disney Plus for us in the UK, and I think Hulu probably for America. It's a film called No One Will Save You, which I just really loved because it's a small scale alien invasion movie, mm-hmm. Starring, I forgot the actress's name, Caitlin Dever, I think that's her name. She's from Booksmart, and she's going to be in the new series of Last of Us. She's in season 2 of that, playing a prominent character. I don't play the game, but I heard she's a prominent character.
Oh yeah, she's just been cast in that. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So this film is an alien invasion film, mm-hmm. and but it's very sort of local. It's almost like an alien invasion becomes a home invasion.
Okay.
There's, if I remember correctly, there's no dialogue. Yeah, there's no dialogue in this. Done very differently to Silent Night, because that
less said work.
It does work, and it's just, it kind of reminded me of early Spielberg stuff, you know, when he went a bit dark, like Poltergeist, mm-hmm. and Close Encounters. So it had that kind of like what I call family horror,
right? Okay,
feel, and I just loved it, man, beginning to end. And it gets wacky at the end, but in a good way. You know, it gets kind of trippy, and you mm-hmm. see the inside of one of the spaceships, which I love it when they do that. And yeah, beginning to end, it just comes in, bang, and then just goes. And I just felt it. I thought it was a great movie, something that I wish I watched at the cinema.
Yeah, I totally forgot to watch that, because I remember you guys sounding off about it and saying it was good. Yeah. I think Neil enjoyed it as well, and I have to go onto my watch list. So yeah, I'm going to have to add that. I'm going to add that now.
So that's my number 9.
Okay. Yeah, so I've actually got a watch list. So just something to mention whilst we're here is we are going on our top 10 movies of 2023 from a UK release date point of view. So there are some films that are going to be 2024 for us. So like Poor Things just came out here, All of Our Strangers, right, and stuff like that. So those films, some of the ones that have been mentioned, the Golden Globes, we're not going to have those on our list because they're not out in the UK yet. So whether we've seen them or not is a different matter, but we're going for UK release dates. Yeah. But yeah, so yet to see, I'll put No One Save You. So absolutely. Another film that made my list, my number 9 spot, Not as good as the previous film, which for me is one of the best action movies of like the last like 10 years, along with the John Wick movies, is Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. I just really enjoyed this. It's a big blockbuster movie. It had me engaged. It had me questioning things. I just love Tom Cruise in this role, and I like what he does in terms of pushing the boundaries of these movies. And is it Fallout? I think is just kind of peak. That's what, you know, so it's not quite there, but I thought it still delivered. And the train scene at the end in particular, I thought was gripping. Again, I think it's one of these things that they probably showed a little bit too much in the trailer. I think, you know, the jump off the cliff, the parachute, all that kind of stuff. It's like they're getting people to buy in to go and see it. It's like, that's the kind of stuff you should kind of pull back on. There's enough else to show, but that's just a marketing decision. But yeah, for me, it was a really solid movie, great action flick. And that's my number 9 spot. What did you think of it?
Yeah, you know what? I think because I remember we're always WhatsApping through the year. And it was one that I just was surprisingly didn't feel. I remember part of it could be because I was a little bit tired, which always makes a difference to me. But
yeah.
I know I wasn't tired for the first hour. And it was almost like I went in there because I'm a fan of the franchise, just expecting brilliance.
Yeah.
And an hour went in, and I actually remember texting the group saying, I'm an hour into this, and so far I'm feeling nothing.
Right.
Then there was this car chase where I was like, okay, this is cool now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lost me, man. And by that end bit where the train scene, I just didn't care. You know, when you were just...
Yeah, you just get to a point where you're just not invested. Yeah.
So it's on my list of movies to rewatch at home just to see if I get a different perspective. But I have to be honest, it was probably my most disappointing film of last year.
Okay.
But I accept all of you folks loved it. Most people loved it. The reviews were good. So I accept I'm in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't make the money that people were expecting it to, though.
No, it didn't. I thought it was going to do a lot better than it did. From a box office point of view, I mean, it made decent money. I think it made over 500 million. But from where the franchise was on this incline, it kind of fell off. And I don't know why. So, very odd.
That was odd. But we've had a few this year where a film that you just expect it to do better than it has, hasn't. It's been a very weird year in terms of box office.
I think that
trend's going to continue in 2024, where I just don't think studios can bank on things anymore.
No, they can't bank on the franchises. They really can't. There's definitely a franchise fatigue. And I think that people are happy just to wait for streaming on certain types of movies, you know? So.
Okay. Listen, good, solid choice, man. So what we are, am I on number 8 now?
8. Yeah. What's your number 8 pick?
All right. Just like me and you disagreed on the Mission Impossible, I know you're going to disagree with me on this because we've had this debate before, and that is Creed 3. So obviously the folks at Creative Control know that Rocky's my franchise. Rocky is to me what Star Wars is to others. It's my Star Wars. Rocky's my favorite TV film character ever, ever. He's he's everything to me. So when Creed 1 came out, I was blown away, blown away, to the point where I said, it's Rocky 1, Creed, then the other films. That's how I put it. I thought it was Sylvester Stallone's performance, and it was amazing. Ryan Coogler's directing. The fight choreography took everything that was in any Rocky film and just blew it away. And then, so I love number 1. I give it a masterpiece, 10 out of 10, not one fault. And then number 2, I thought, this is a solid movie too.
Solid sequel.
I've watched it more. It's gone from an 8 to a 9. So I love number 2. I love all the arcs. I just think, wow, everything just clicks in place. Number 3 is probably the one I like the least out of them, but I still really enjoyed it. I enjoyed Jonathan Majors. I enjoyed the story, the fact that they didn't turn to some cheesy make it Clubber Lang's son. They went for a new character.
Yeah.
They created a really good antagonist with a rich backstory. And he got quite creative, Michael B. Jordan, with the directing the final act. Things I will agree with you on this. So although I enjoyed the film, the things I will agree is one, the turn. So the turn from the antagonist was too sudden. Do you remember the turn on the beach? Where just suddenly he goes from this nuanced character to a straight up.
Pantomime bad guy.
Swindled you, you're shit. And it's like, wait, you've gone from there to there. That's my one sort of major thing. And then lastly, the thing I do agree with you on is the final fight didn't have a narrative of like, and I know it's a cliche and I respect him for breaking it, but there's something to be said in the formula of you're watching your protagonist losing and then coming back from the clutches of defeat. There is a reason that that formula works, because in this one, it was, like you said, it was just toe-to-toe through the whole match with some very creative shots, some very anime-style shots. But the story of the fight was toe-to-toe. And I reckon he made that decision to stay away from that classic trope. It didn't work. It just didn't. I'm with you on that. There wasn't that journey in terms of the fight, and the fight has to be a journey with an arc in itself. And so that's the reason that I don't put it nowhere as high up as Creed 1 and Creed 2, but still made my top 10 list because I love that franchise, man. And I love the character of Creed.
I think for me, it's probably actually one of my most disappointing films of the year, because again, I loved 1 and 2. And, you know, obviously there's a lot to take on. I found the other characters more interesting. I found his daughter interesting. I found like Adonis interesting. The Creed character himself, I just found was, I don't know, just the stakes weren't there. It was, yes, okay, he got swindled. And I think what happened, like with Rocky, you had the original underdog. He has the rematch. And then three, he's kind of at peak and he's kind of going to retire. And then Clubberland brings him out. I just feel like it's done the same thing. It's like we've missed the peak of Creed. Do you know what I mean? Just kind of skipped the point where he's had all these great fights and stuff like that. I would have liked to have seen more of him in his peak. This guy comes out, he hasn't boxed in like 20 years or whatever it is. And, you know, he's taking him on. And I wanted Creed to be more affected from the emotion and the trauma within the fight. So it's not necessarily this guy has got the skill, but he's mentally beating him, to a point. And then he has to overcome that. And I just didn't feel that from this.
Can I ask you a question? Do you feel like there's things that were edited out of that movie?
I do feel there's quite a heavy edit. Yeah, I do believe there's probably quite a bit on the cutting room floor.
And I feel all the things that you're asking for, and maybe what I'm asking for in the sense of the antagonist just switching, maybe there is material in there, but we just, you know, have it.
Whether it's a time thing or whatever it is. Definitely. And I found the music a little lacking in this one. I would have just probably, I didn't need Stallone in it, but I would probably have liked more reference to him. It just felt like he wasn't really explained how much of his journey he'd been a part of, despite how he's helped him out to begin with. And there was just a lot missing in this for me. So I know I'm in the minority for Creed. I know there's a lot of people who love that movie, and fair play to them. Just didn't do it for me. So so that's your number 8 spot. So we're going to go to my number 8, and I've got Blackberry. I really enjoyed this movie, and I was surprised. Again, wasn't expecting it. So Blackberry is based on obviously the phone, the Blackberry phone, and basically how it came to be, and it's kind of that real life story kind of thing. And I never used a BlackBerry, and so it was never really a thing for me. But to see the journey that they went on to create that, because everyone's very aware of like the Apple journey and how that came about, because we've seen the movies regarding that. But I thought it was great to see, and some really strong performances. Who was the lead? I'm gonna have to look it up now.
The lead was that guy who does comedy.
Yeah, Jay Burchell, if that's how you pronounce it. He does the voice for like How to Train Your Dragon and stuff like that. And Glenn Howerton, I thought was brilliant in this. He was so good. And there was some great comedy elements, great drama elements. And just told me a story that I wasn't familiar with. And is one that I've rewatched as well, and I enjoy it a second time. And for me, the reason why a movie will make my list is how much I enjoy it at the time, but also second viewings and how much I want to go back and watch it. Do you know what I mean? So rewatchability. So there might be some potentially better made movies out there that don't make my list, but it's just how it's made me feel. Do you know what I mean? So Blackberry I thought was really, really great. And I would definitely recommend it. I think you can catch it on Amazon Prime right now, Amazon Prime Video. But really great film. What did you think of Blackberry?
I loved it. It was it's in my honorable mentions. It just outside of my list. I watched it. I just thought this is incredible. I love the way it looks really raw as well. Like it looks kind of grainy and low budget. And the, is it Glenn Howerton? Is that his name?
Yeah. Howerton.
Yeah. Howerton. He was despicable, but he was a powerhouse in this film.
Yeah,
really great film, man. Great choice. Great choice.
Right, so let's move on. Right, what's your number seven pick?
Okay, my number seven pick is Sisu. Hell of an action film.
Mm-hmm.
Explosive from beginning to end. It's just like carnage. It's glorious. It's... It looks great. I love the directing, and it just builds the way it just builds and builds and builds. And then when he goes off, it's just great, man. And I loved it. I love watching new things like this. You know, I know we love our John Wick 4s, but when there's this new idea, this new character, this new property, and it wasn't an English speaking film. I think there were subtitles. I'm pretty sure. I can't remember.
It was Scandinavian.
Or it was set in a different country.
Yeah, it was Finnish.
Finnish, that's it.
And speaking in Finnish, it was crazy. And some of the set pieces in that, and the action and the gore, and I wasn't expecting this. And it was a really great film. And it's a simple story. You know, guy finds gold, he's trying to go home, the Nazis see him, they want this, and that's it, they end up fighting. And fantastic film. That's a great shout to be on the list, absolutely.
Love
definitely
it.
Recommend seeing that. Okay, so my number seven pick was towards the end of the year, and it was Dream Scenario with Nicolas Cage. I thought this was delightful. Nick Cage on superb acting form, and I felt him in this movie. The awkwardness, the frustrations, and the eccentricities of him when he's in the dreams and stuff like that. He just got to play this character in a variety of different ways. And the ending, I didn't, was a bit of a surprise. Didn't know how he was going to finish. And it was just, I just thought it was beautifully done. As an A24 film, I think, wasn't it? So they do some fantastic stuff. And if you haven't given it a chance, check it out. It's Nick Cage is on fine form. It's one of his best performances in recent years, probably along with Pig as well. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. Did you get a chance to see it,
mate? I watched it just recently, based on your recommendation, and I loved it. It reminded me of surreal out there movies like Being John Malkovich. It reminded me of that, because I remember going to cinema and watching that show at my age, and just thinking, what is this movie? And that's what Dream Scenario did. From the beginning to the end, I enjoyed it. I loved the way it tackled really important subjects such as fame, the fickleness of fame, how society can just build you up and crush you.
Tear you down, and social media's impact on that,
But also I loved the way that this character showed the seeds of, because he was such a mild-mannered, kind of middle-aged lecturer, but he showed those little seeds of, I want some recognition and I want some fame. So then once he had this avenue where suddenly he's thrust into being the most famous person on the planet, the way his ego started working. Do you know what? It was a great movie with such a poignant ending as well, such a heartbreaking poignant
Beautiful ending. So
yeah, man, definitely another honorable mention, probably just outside my top 10.
All right,
great film.
Right, so what is your number six?
So my number six, I watched it very early in the year. People were talking about this film, and it's called A Good Person.
And I still haven't got around to seeing that yet.
Yeah, and it really moved me. It's with Morgan Freeman, and it's with, what's the name? You know when it's on the tip of your tongue, the she plays Yelena?
Florence Pugh.
I love Florence Pugh. So she's in it as well. And it's a heartbreaking story, and it deals with grief. It deals with addiction. It deals with coming back from the depths of hell. Things that everybody could relate to. And it really moved me. And maybe some people found it corny or cheesy, or like, you know, it's just like pulling the emotions, playing on your heartstrings. But I love stuff like that. I've got no problem with that. Yeah, if a film can make me cry, if a film can make me cry, it gets in my top 10 straight away. Performances were excellent from both from Florence Pugh and Morgan Freeman. I really recommend it, Kenan. I think you'll like it.
No, yeah, it's definitely that type of film. I think I've been waiting to watch it with Emma because I know it's a film that she'd like as well. Yeah. So I've kept waiting to watch that. But yeah, written and directed by Zach Braff from Scrubs fame. Mm. And obviously he did, was it Garden State? And stuff like that. So, you know, Zach Braff, you know, he's got a talent to pull these kind of like heartwarming things out. And
I think at the time him and Florence Pugh were actually dating. So definitely recommend it. I mean, I've added Musketeers to my list, so
give my yet to see list afterwards, because I need to mention that some of these films could have made my top 10, but I just haven't got around to seeing them. Okay, so my number six was John Wick 4, so we've already mentioned that, so we'll just move on. So we're entering our top five. So Andreas, what is your top five? What is your number five?
Okay, so this one I watched because one, Amrita, who we love, she's got brilliant taste. She was raving about it. And two, because the director's last movie, Promising Young Woman, blew my mind. I loved it. Like, I love shit like this, and that's Saltburn. Watched it on Amazon Prime. Was going to watch it in the cinema, but had so much going on. You know, my life is like so crazy. And I saw it was coming out on Amazon, and I thought, look, I'm going to wait for this one because there's just too much going on, which is a shame because I wish I watched it in the cinema. It's a dark, twisted, crazy story with, and it's captured a lot of people's imaginations. Like when I do my classes or clients, everyone's talking about the scenes from this. There's three certain scenes that you just see and you can't unsee. And I've been watching movies since the 70s. So when, you know, to see something that I've never seen before is quite rare.
Yeah.
And I watched it with me, my wife, and my mate. And we were just like, no.
Yeah, I've seen loads of stuff on TikTok where people were watching it between Christmas and New Year because it came out on Prime, and everyone's like recording the reactions of their family because it's so awkward. Crazy scenes. And Barry Keoghan, fair play, mate. Amazing. Well done.
Well done to him. Jacob Elordi, he was amazing. Is it Rosamund Pike?
Rosamund Pike,
she was brilliant.
She was.
Listen, the whole cast was excellent. You know, it was the different layers of topics and themes they were going for. Like you're trying to clutch onto the characters you wanted to sort of, you know, like through the film, but you're clutching them and then they were slipping, and it was this weird thing, and I had this dark sense of humor, and I loved it, and I will watch anything she does.
It was really, really great. I think the only reason, it's not a criticism of the film because that can't be helped, but I saw the end coming. I knew what the end game was
going to
be.
Me too.
And so I suppose then nothing was a shock. It was just waiting to see how it happened. And so, like I say, not Kristen, but just missed out on my top 10. That's definitely my honorable mentions. And if it was a top 15, it'd probably be in there. But thoroughly well acted film, and fair play for it being in your top five.
Emerald Fennell, that's the name of the
Writer and
Director. What's yours?
My number five, which I literally watched today because I had a feeling it would make my top 10, and it did, was The Holdovers.
Oh, yes.
Such a good film. Yeah. Paul Giamatti is just, he's horrible but lovable. It's just it's just brilliant. And again, that's my type of movie. And I know it's kind of almost like a modern day Scent of a Woman type of thing. You know, it's just like these two characters thrust together and they go on this journey together. And it was fantastic. Absolutely great. And I think Paul Giamatti, I think, you know, in terms of performances, you know, for me, it's better than Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer.
Oh,
you know, so I would say, look, 100%. I'd love him to win the Oscar, you know, so if he gets nominated. So if he gets nominated, for me, he leads it. But I think there's something about Oppenheimer this year where I think it's going to clean up on a lot. But fantastic performance. And like you said, you really enjoyed it. And you kept saying, watch it.
So
I was like, I need to watch this before today. And so
this is probably the best Christmas film I've seen since Planes, Trains and Automobiles. It was it was such a... So I've never seen an Alexander Payne movie. I know that my movie buff friends are always telling me, watch his films. Now I want to watch his films because it's the first time I watched his film. And, you know, usually we're sort of into the genre stuff, the comic book, the action, and the horror. But I was just watching this film and just these characters were so superbly acted. Not just Paul Giamatti, who, yes, in my opinion, should win Best Actor at the Oscars. Mm-hmm. But also the younger guy, which I've got no sudden clue at this point what's his name, but you know the one I'm talking about. Apparently it's his role. First role.
That's incredible. Yeah.
He was amazing. And the lady in it as well, again, I'm rubbish with names, but I think she won a Golden Globe for supporting actress for her performance in it.
Devine Joy Randolph.
Yes, and what a beautiful name.
Yeah, the guy was Dominic Sessa, if that's how you pronounce it, S-E-S-S-A.
He's got a bright future ahead of him. This film is just
definitely
thrust him into the world, the limelight, and I just think that big studios are going to be tapping that guy for big films. But I loved it, man. It was so sweet, and the ending again is poignant, a little bit heartbreaking as well, but so beautiful. It's like on a snowy day, this film is like a warm, hot cup of cocoa with marshmallow and flake shavings and just cream on top. It was just gorgeous. I could see myself watching it at Christmas every year.
Yeah. So as you said, Alexander Payne, he's the director. He hasn't directed anything since Downsizing with Matt Damon in 2017. So quite a while, but he did also The Descendants, Sideways, About Schmidt, Election. Yeah. So there's probably a few films there that people might be aware about. But great. Absolutely great.
I'll be checking out his films after this for sure.
Okay. So what's your number four spot?
Oh, it's me. Okay. So this film dropped on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Fair Play. And
I've heard of it, but not seen it.
So it kind of reminded me of those, it had this, although the plot was completely different, nothing like it, had that feel of films like Fatal Attraction, you know, those sort of like thrillers. And it also had a little bit of Marriage Story in there, and that film Closer with Julia Roberts and Jude Law. I don't know if you've ever seen it. The premise is excellent. A couple, they live in New York, they work for some sort of finance firm, but no one knows that they're a couple. I think they're engaged, in fact, or they're getting engaged. It's because they're trying to keep it professional, and there's a position going quite high up, and it's all, you know, it all looks like he's going to get it, but she gets it.
Right.
So there's this whole thing of like the way it starts fucking with their relationship. Because if you imagine, instead of him going out with the high ups to the bars and to, you know, to the strip clubs and all, it's her. And there's just this brilliant sexual politics in it. And this like, it just shows their relationship unraveling, and I ate it up beginning to end. I loved it. I loved the script. I loved the acting by Alden Ehrenreich.
Mr. Young Han Solo.
and
he was fantastic in Oppenheimer. He was brilliant.
Yes.
Very small part, but he is fantastic.
Yeah. You want a theme in this man? He's got a meaty part. He's, you know, shares the lead role with the actress Phoebe Dynevor. I probably pronounced it like shit.
But yeah, whatever. I don't know if it's Dynevor. Yeah.
She's excellent. I've never heard of this director, Chloe DeMont, but I will be looking out for everything she does. I loved it, man.
All right, cool. All right, well, I'll add that to my watch list. I'm gonna do it now, actually. So, was it Fair Play?
Yeah.
So, Fair Play makes your number four spot. All right.
Yeah, I watched it.
So, okay. So, in my number four spot, we've got Anatomy of a Fall. I saw this from a Cineworld secret screening, and it probably wouldn't have been one that I went to see at the cinema. Yeah. And probably would have caught it, but I'm so glad I did. And it's basically a French courtroom drama. Basically the story starts with the character Samuel, and he's found dead in the snow outside this isolated chalet where he lived with his wife and who's a German writer, and they've got a partially sighted son. So it's an investigation that of a suspicious death, and the wife is kind of put on trial, who they believe has killed her. But the person that is crucial to it in terms of a witness is the son, but he's partially blind. And it's about the son, you know, his son's recollection of things, because obviously it's regarding touch and feel and sounds and the timing and stuff like that. And it was fascinating to see a courtroom drama play out. It's like the jury are right up there with the judge and stuff. And it was just really gripping. And what's great is you don't actually really know what happened until the end. So throughout the trial, you don't see what happens at the beginning. So it's not one of those you see it and then find out. You're like, could she have done it? Would she have done it? And the way it kind of plays out, it shows troubles in their marriage and them fighting and the husband. But she's also an author and, like I said, a German writer. And what she has done is it kind of been played out in her books. So it's a little bit like that Basic Instinct, where she's like, why would I commit a murder the same way it's in my book? It's like, what's the perfect alibi? So it's that kind of thing. Yeah, just some fantastic acting. And Sandra Hüller, she was fantastic. And to be honest, if it was based on all movies, she should be in the top. She should be in a category for best actress. She's absolutely incredible in this. And the young boy in it was really, really good as well. But definitely go check this out when you can. It is French. It's a bit of a crossover because she does speak English as well, but it is heavily French with subtitles. But yeah, I would highly recommend this movie. Really, really good.
It's on my watch list for sure. I've heard nothing but good things, getting lots of award buzz. So I'll be watching that. I will be watching that one.
So just before we hit our top three, I thought I'd just run through Rita's list up to this point so we can kind of guess. So number 10, she had Anatomy of a Fall. She had Past Lives, which is a movie I haven't seen yet, but we'll see if it comes up anywhere on the list. She has Saltburn at number 8. Talk to Me at number 7. Fantastic horror. And I'll come back to my honorable mentions. Killers of the Flower Moon was her number 6. For me, it was average. Solid acting, but didn't do it for me. Barbie was her number 5. Godzilla Minus One, which almost made my top 10. And at number 3, she had John Wick Chapter 4. And at number 2, she had The Whale, which was actually a January 2023 release here in the UK. And I'll save her number 1. When we get there. So that was her list. And yes, some movies that I'll go on to discuss a little bit more. So what was your number 3?
Okay, so I had my top 3, and then I rewatched one of them just the other week, which was in number 3, and they all shunted you around. So my new number 3.
I know the movie you're discussing, but go on.
So my new number 3, which was number 2, is Talk to Me.
This film, right.
I have seen twice with different sets of people. Everyone I've recommended to loved it or got scared shitless by it. My sort of like, you know, teenage sons who ain't scared of nothing actually said that that film was messed up. Do you know what I mean? This film was a breath of fresh air. It was just this big jolt in the arm to the horror genre in a time where we're having so many naff sequels to whether it's to classic horror movies like Scream and
sequels, and reboots, and prequels, all this stuff.
To have this film just cut through and was like, it's two Greek Australian brothers, the Philippou brothers, who got famous doing sort of like these videos on YouTube. They just cut through this film that it starts, it slaps you in the face, you're in straight away, and it just takes you through. And what I loved about it is that end sort of like wrap up is just perfect. It was like, yeah, of course. There is a little bit of confusion in the third act, which I wish they kind of did a few things differently. So something could have been a bit clearer, because we're still discussing. One person saw the end and interpreted it like this, and like me like this. And I'm like, okay. And I don't think it's the way... Maybe the directors wanted you to have that confusion,
like, have that conversation.
But it didn't feel like that to me. It just felt like that. But aside from that, you know, then the very end, it's like, oh, you bastards, you just killed this film. And I was waiting for it to fall over, because most horror films start strong, they go well. Right. And then at the end, they unravel, and you're like, okay, you couldn't stick the landing. This one to me was just perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, perfect.
And I'm not a horror person either, you know, so I don't tend to seek horror movies. There's not many that I watch. And again, I probably wouldn't have gone to see this, but it was a secret screening at Cineworld. Yeah. So I sat down there and was like, talk to me. At that point, about 10 people got up and left. They just like, hoping it was something else. But it's like, boy, they should have stayed.
Who'd you go with?
It was a treat. I think I was there with Alex and Amrita, I think.
I think
they were there at the time, but I sometimes I go by the last one I went to by myself, so because I've relocated from London now and I'm down near Stonehenge in Salisbury. I go cinema by myself a lot. It was just like you say, it was a breath of fresh air. It really gripped you. It was an easy premise to understand. It was very relatable in terms of the social media and having a group of people around in one place. You know, just a scary spin the bottle type of thing. I don't know, it was just like, it was really great, really creepy, and great. It just missed out on my top 10.
That's cool. And you know, they say every good horror movie, the horror should be a symbolism for something else. And in this one, it's definitely, you know, the hand was just like a metaphor for either, you know, drugs. And I loved the way that they were capturing their reactions on social media like young kids do. And I just felt that film just was firing. And what I loved about it is I knew that if this film was made in a Hollywood studio, set in America with really good looking teenagers, it just wouldn't have felt the same. The fact that it was set in Australia and the characters were really raw and the dialogue was really natural, it just elevated it all. And I loved it. It's my number three, but it was at one point my number two.
Nice. Okay. So my number three, which I think is going to be higher on your list, it was the end to a fantastic trilogy. It's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Just a joyous film. As Gunn does, and he knows how to treat these characters and this franchise. You love the characters, the combination of them when they're apart. The emotion in this movie, and you know, I definitely think there should be more award recognition for voice work in movies. Because you know, Bradley Cooper and Rocket, you know, man's just staring at a screen and just giving a fantastic performance, you know. And it was, it gave you the feels, you know, as well as all the fantastic action and the big scenes, you know, the fight scene in the corridor. You know, just there's so many moments in this movie, and I think the High Evolutionary gets a little bit of a bad rap in terms of the type of villain he was, but I just thought he fitted the movie perfectly. And, you know, a lot of villains are going to be one film type villains, and that's okay. So, yeah, no, fantastic film and the highlight of obviously the MCU for a long time, because generic, the stuff that has been coming out has been disappointed. And it's probably the best film since No Way Home. So, yeah.
Well, let me talk about this one when it comes up on my list.
Yeah. Right. So we're going to your number two now.
All right. So my number two was my number one pretty much all year until last week. And that is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. This film is what the multiverse needed to be in the MCU. This is, for me, this is where, because the MCU took us to Infinity War, if they wanted to take us to the next level, this is what their movies should have been like in a live action form. This level of ingenuity, originality, just this, like, as I described the film, it was like it was made 500 years in the future, where our brain had more receptors and handed back to us. There was just so much going on. And yeah, there, it was times where it was overwhelming in a way of like, I'm just feeling all my senses, just my spider senses just going off on this film. Visually, it was beautiful.
There was so much to look at.
Yeah, it had, but at the core of it, it had a lot of heart. If you, like, for me, the most
absolutely
beautiful moments is mom and just the thread that goes through of, like, I'm tired of people telling me what to do. I want to do it my way. And the way they left us, where they left us was, like, mind blown and just salivating to see the conclusion. So that's my number two. I could say a lot more about it, but I'm guessing you've got
something. Yeah, it's going to be in a lot of people's top movies at the end. I'll come on to it when I come on to it. But actually my top two movies of 2023 are both animated movies. So my number two spot is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. Absolutely loved this film. I haven't laughed this much in a movie in a long time. I love the new animation style. You know, I love these characters. You know, I grew up on these characters. Yeah. You know, they're in my like top five cartoons of all time, and in terms of cartoon characters. But yeah, there's just the chemistry of these four teenagers and actual teenagers doing the voices, the way they talked over each other and all had their real different personalities. Jackie Chan was just amazing in this. And yeah, just the voice acting, the humor was on point. You know, yeah, it got a bit big in the final act. They went, you know, big in terms of the villain and, you know, the scene. But yeah, I just rewatched it. I think it was yesterday. And yeah, just to make sure, I was like, am I remembering it too fondly? And I'm like, I really dug it. And yeah, it's really what this franchise needed, because those Michael Bay movies, they were tough.
They weren't good.
They were tough. But this just nailed it for me. And I just can't wait to see him build up upon this and just keep doing this, because Turtles don't need to be live action. You know, we've had it. Let's just go back to the animated and create and do what you can there. So yeah, that's my number two. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, yeah. So my thoughts is, so obviously I'm like, I saw the trailer. I thought, this ain't for me. Forget that. Mm-hmm. This does not appeal for me. I'm not usually an animation guy normally, but, although I just talked about Spider-Man Across Spider-Verse, but then I rented it and me and my son started watching it and we were really enjoying it. Like, honestly, for the first hour, I was like, I was just laughing. I was smiling. I was enjoying it. Then he had to go out and do something. Mm-hmm. And he's made me promise to wait for him to watch the rest. This was 2 months ago.
So you still haven't finished it?
I haven't seen. No, I still haven't finished it. So I've got it and I'm going to just, like, you know, I'm just going to, because waiting for him, he's just a busy sort of 20-year-old who's rather be hanging out with his mates and his... I will finish it, but I was really enjoying it.
And, you know, I know people enjoyed it. You know, it won't be on people's top 10 list, maybe, or even as high. But, you know, that's what movies do. It's just the way it hits you. Yeah. And I don't know if it was just a particularly good move that first time I watched it. But, yeah, it just made me laugh and just have pure joy. You know, I'm sitting at the screen smiling. you know, throughout the movie. And that's what you want to feel, you know, not all the time, because deep films will make you feel something else. But yeah, just no, for me, it was a joy. Right. So what is your number one pick? I'm already going to start typing it, but yeah.
Right. So basically, even though Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse was the better movie, and I acknowledge that, this was my personal favorite number one. It was number three for a long time, but I just rewatched it. And what did I say to you? If a film can make me cry, it's in my top 10. This film made me blubber pathetically, and that was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Honestly, dude, there was moments when I was, I mean, I cried in the cinema. My son, I went with my son, and we, I remember taking him to see Guardians number one, where we just had, and he was, I don't know, maybe he was 9 years old at this stage. And I just remember we had no idea about this character. The MCU was pretty new. And I will never forget us laughing, like with everything that we had, loving number one. Then we went and watched number two. And I know a lot of people don't like it as much. I don't see what people's problems is with it. I love number two. Maybe not as much as number one, but I loved it. And that, so we, you know, we grew up, he grew up with these characters. Do you know what I mean? And then it's the final movie. The MCU's been just giving us substandard stuff for a while. We've kind of lost that magic. And then to see something like this and to see the culmination of their journey, to make it about a raccoon, dude. I'm crying over a raccoon. And I didn't just cry in moments of sadness. I was crying in moments of joy. That last dance at the end to Florence and the Machine. I can't tell you. I was literally in tears for the last 45 minutes. And that's what made me think, no, this is my number one. No other film has made me feel like this this year. So it deserves its place. And I thought it was a perfect end to the trilogy. I thought it gave us back some of that MCU magic. And it just shredded me. Shredded me. Emotionally, it shredded me.
I haven't revisited this film since the cinema, actually, even though it's available on Disney Plus. So, because the amount of stuff that we need to get through, but it's definitely, yeah, I you know, it's one of those films that even though I've only seen once, I remember so much of it, you know, the characters, the relationships, and you know, that's the mark of a good film, when you can come out and just remember all the story beats and stuff. Like I said, I really thoroughly enjoyed it. It was like my number three, and yeah, can't argue with its placement. And speaking of that, yeah, my number one film, and Amrita's as well, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. You've spoken about it. Just a fantastic movie. And as much as I love this movie, it adds to my frustration with Sony and the way they handle the Spider-Man franchise, because they smash it with this animated franchise, yet they're going to give us Venom, Venom 2, Morbius, and Madam Web, and all this bullshit in live action. I just, yeah. And it's the same with DC. So for so many years, DC had the most brilliant animated movies, but they couldn't recapture it in live action. And it's just like, I give these animated people a chance, man, with the live action, because they can write good stories. You know,
they can write good stories.
That's what
right?
it is. It's that, and the story is what you need. You know, yeah, and it's just too much focus is put on the visual these days, you know, like Aquaman. I just saw Aquaman 2, and it's just this green screen fest, you know, there's not enough story there.
I think we've been, certain films have just set the bar, and unless you're coming with something fresh and original, then just don't bother. Don't give us generic stuff anymore, like the Venom movies or Morbius, or Madam Web looks generic too. I don't know, maybe good, who knows? Craven doesn't appeal to me. I'm just saying, like, you got magic there with that Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Give them everything, essentially. Sony, give them your whole Spider-Verse. Let them write it, let them do it, because they're good. Yeah, I love this film, man. I've seen it twice this year, and it's just amazing. When are we getting the third one? That's all I want to know.
I think it's been delayed. Is it? I think it's either 2025 or 2026 now. So
not 2026.
Let me just have a quick look. Because of the writer's strike, that pushed a lot of stuff back. Spider-Verse 3 release date. But at the moment, it's saying March 24. So that March 29th, 2024.
That's not happening.
So we'll see. I mean, this one moved around a bunch as well. But yeah, I don't know how much. I don't believe they've done much of it because, you know, sometimes when they do a joint story, you know, there may be parts they've already done for the next one. Who knows? But yeah, at the moment it's going to be at least like 14 months away. So, right. Okay, so let's look at trying to do a combined top 10 list. These don't have to be in a particular order, but just before we do that, I'm just going to go through some of the yet to see and honorable mentions. Like I said, so yet to see Past Lives, they cloned Tyrone. I heard really good things about that. The Zone of Interest, I know nothing about it, but it's on a lot of top 10 lists.
Yeah.
How to Have Sex, apparently is really good. You've watched that, right?
Yeah. I watched that. Yeah. I watched Past Lives.
Okay. And then I've got A Good Place and Fair Play. Right. So, yeah, then I've got A Good Place and Fair Play. Honorable mentions, Godzilla Minus One. This is how you do a Godzilla movie. Brilliant.
This is what I want to see. This is the film that I wanted to, that I'm gutted I didn't see it.
Yeah, so, I went to an unlimited screening at Cineworld for this. And, yeah, it was really, really great. It just missed out on the top 10. For me, but yeah, it was a great story. The human character element was great. It's not over the top with Godzilla, but they make him, you know, menacing and meaningful, and the destruction means things. It's not just for the sake of it in terms of it's on a big scale, but they focus on the human element of it. Do you know what I mean? So it's not just smashing for smashing sake. So yeah, that was there. Oppenheimer, you know, look, it was a very well-made movie. It's a fantastically acted movie. It's just more of a documentary type movie. It's, you know, you go in, you learn, you hear a story, and that's kind of it. It didn't sit with me afterwards particularly or anything like that. So
can I just interject here? Mm. I'm with you. The two biggest movies of the year, I just found snooze fests, and that was Oppenheimer. I thought it was technically brilliantly made. The art of it was amazing.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. absolutely deserves recognition.
All that. Yeah. But as a film, I was either bored or I needed a big folder to be like, who's that person again? Mm-hmm. That's the one. And then Barbie, I just didn't think it was as clever as it thought it was. It had some good things. It was unique, but they both didn't even come near my.
No,
like again,
Barbie's not even an honorable mention to me because, again, I just thought it was bang average. And, you know, besides the scene from, what's her name, America?
America Ferrera,
is it? You know, it was a great speech in that. But it's like they had a joke and they just kind of kept stretching that joke. And I didn't like Will Ferrell in it at all. I just thought he was way over the top and it just didn't fit. But, you know, the aesthetics were good. The ideas were good.
And it was original as well. I give it that.
Yeah, it was.
It's not like anything I've seen before. So
no, absolutely. Well. Yeah, I don't know. Just didn't hit the same for me.
We agree on that one.
We agree on that. Other honorable mentions was Air. Really great movie. Film. You know, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, directed by Ben Affleck as well. You know, that was probably in my top 10 earlier in the year. As I mentioned, Talk to Me was fantastic. Maestro, Bradley Cooper, his drama about the life of Leonard Bernstein. Him and Carrie Mulligan in it are fantastic. It's a well-crafted movie. It's got some great visuals, but it's particularly the performances were just outstanding. Yeah. And the way Bradley Cooper's just embodied Bernstein in this. He spent years learning how to direct. And it's just incredible to see him come to life on there. Also, Tetris, Apple movie. I really enjoyed that back early in the year. Really good. Again, it's one of the how-to, like, life stories. This is how it came. And I'm just trying to think who else is in the cast besides Taron Egerton. Not as particularly big cast either, actually. You know, it's just really well acted. I love the way that they interplayed the game aspects within it, and just really, really enjoyable movie.
It was a good movie.
And what else did I have? Again, Saltburn, just missed out on Sisu. And I think for me, it's like an apology almost, because most surprising film for me was actually Gran Turismo. I remember watching the trailers. Yeah. I remember watching the trailers to this, and I was shitting on this film, saying, "Oh my god, I've seen everything in the trailer. They've done," and there was more. And I was really surprised. It was really heartfelt. Some lovely little performances. I love the way they interplayed the gameplay of the game within the movie. The racing driving was fantastic. Really kind of edge on your seat stuff. That's what Fast and Furious should be doing with driving. And David Harbour, he was lovely in it. So yeah, for me, there's a shout on that. And it's actually, I think, one of my highest liked posts, both mine and Neil on Instagram, was our reviews of it. Because we're saying it's a good movie, you know, and people need to give it a chance. And it's not necessarily, it's not a video game movie. It is a biography, and it's based on the guy who did this. He played the game, became a real life driver, and he actually plays his own stunt double in the movie, which I think is just delightful as well. So
yeah, it all comes full circle. So I had no interest in it. Then I started hearing the rave reviews, like, you know what, this film's good. And I sat and we rented it. I was with my wife. We watched it. And honestly, both delightful film. You know, there was nothing original. Things that have been done before, but it was executed really well. And it had a lot of heart. And we really loved it. So great film. Just missed out on mine as well.
All right. So what are some of your other honorable mentions?
So let's get the list. Honorable mentions, Knock at the Cabin. Mr. M. Night.
I don't like that.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that one.
Neil did as well.
Pearl. I know Neil didn't like that, but I thought Pearl was good. Neil talked to you about the Ty West sort of trilogy of films that started with X.
That's right.
That came out a few years ago. So Pearl is the prequel to that.
That's right.
And then I think later this year, we're going to have the sequel to X, which is set in the 80s, called Maxine. I enjoyed Pearl. I know Neil didn't, but I enjoyed it. Evil Dead Rise. In fact,
I heard good things about that.
I should have kind of put that in my top 10. Part of me just wishes it was just a roller coaster ride to hell.
Okay.
It was, you know, it was good. The Covenant with Jake Gyllenhaal, Guy Ritchie's The Covenant. Good film. Dungeons and Dragons was kind of nice.
It was quite enjoyable, actually, I have to say. Chris Pine particularly, his performance was great in it. Michelle Rodriguez, I wasn't a fan of her in it per se, but Hugh Grant, great as well.
Hugh Grant. Okay, we got Extraction 2, which was a great action movie.
Good shout. That's one of the surprises of the year. I was just gonna watch it to fill some time, but some of those scenes I was like, whoa, actually, you know, it's one of those movies where it's so much better than the original.
And some crazy one take actions.
The whole opening of the movie, isn't it, like like 15 minutes one shot or something ridiculous.
So I really like that. A film called Flaming Hot about the origins of the hot Cheetos. Beautiful. Just hot.
That was
film.
A lovely
just
film.
Like,
yeah.
Makes you smile. Wham, the documentary. So Wham is an
I haven't seen that yet. I know you've been going on about it. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Have you seen the Michael
Tyrone?
J. Fox one?
Yeah, still. Still is in So that's really good. Wham really got to me. I thought it was really good. They Clone Tyrone, which is on your list.
Yeah, it's on my watch list. Yeah.
Yeah. No Hard Feelings, Jennifer Lawrence. So we had some good comedy.
Sweet movie. It was a good comedy, especially for a fresh franchise, fresh story.
Yeah, I like that. Another comedy, Strays with the Dogs, voiced by Will Ferrell. And
I think I liked the first, like, half an hour, 45 minutes of it, and then it seemed like to me again the joke was playing on a little bit too long. But
for me, I like the reverse. I was all right with the first 45 minutes, and then it just went berserk.
Goes crazy at the end, for real.
You said Gran Turismo, The Killer, Fassbender, David Fincher's new film.
That was good for me. You know what? I kind of liked it up until the point where he's in the back of the cab with the cab driver, and then spoilers, he takes him out. And I was just like, I like that guy. He was just a taxi driver.
You don't need to murder
him. I think I switched on him as a character then. But up until I loved the precision. You know, I love the whole opening. It was just him, the preciseness of it, the technique, right up until that shot, that I was gripped. I was really gripped in that first opening sort of like 10 minutes.
Dumb Money was another one.
Yeah. That was enjoyable. Well, we've had a lot of these like real life story movies this year. And Dumb Money was a nice one as well.
Past Lives, which I think I've said.
Yeah, it's on my watch list. That,
and The Holdovers.
Right, okay.
So quite a few honorable mentions there. It was a really good film for good year for films. And whereas big franchises let me down, things like Indiana Jones and The Dial of Destiny and most of the MCU movies, I didn't even watch any DC movies. I watched The Flash, actually, but I didn't watch any others. So it was a good time to focus on new original films, and that's what I'll be doing in 2024 with the lack of comic book movies. I'm going to use it as an opportunity to sort of really enjoy some original properties, smaller films, indie films.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, so let's do our joint top 10. So I've kind of highlighted the movies which you and I have both picked and what Amrit has picked. So at number one, I've got, again, don't have to be in a particular order, but I've got Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I've got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I've got Talk to Me. I've got Saltburn. I've got Anatomy of a Fall. I've got John Wick 4, so they take up our top six, and we've got four spots to fill. So I put in one that needs to go in for me, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Would Fair Play need to go in that list for you?
Ooh,
as it was your number four?
Yeah, it was my number four. Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
Fair Play.
All right.
It struck a chord with me.
Okay, so the next one that I would put in there, just because it's something different, I'm going to put in... because it's a little bit lower down on my list. So I'm just wondering whether I put in... it's between The Holdovers, Dream Scenario, and Blackberry. I think I'm going to put Dream Scenario in there as my other choice. Just because it's...
I can't argue with that.
A little bit different.
Can't argue that at all. Great film.
And what would be the last one you put in? Would it be A Good Person, Sisu, Creed 3? What are you going to put in?
Yeah, that's what I was just looking... Do you know what? I'm going to
Because even though I've ranked them in an order, I was looking at it and I was like... I kind of want to put The Holdovers in there, but actually, I was either going between Dream Scenario or Blackberry for me. But
I think I'm going to go with the film that sort of, from the ones I have left, the one that struck a chord with me the most, I think it was A Good Person.
A Good Person, right.
Yeah, maybe if I rewatched it and compared to some others, I might feel different. But at this moment, that's the one that I remember at the time thinking, this is a 9 out of 10. It may have come down a bit, but it obviously had a big impact on me.
Yeah.
I'd say that.
Right. Okay. So look, we'll just run through our top 10 list again. So Andreas, he had number 10, John Wick 4. Number 9, No One Will Save You. Number 8, Creed 3. I feel like I'm on Top of the Pops. Number 7, we have Sisu. Number 6, A Good Person. Number 5, Saltburn. Then number 4, Fair Play. Number 3, Talk to Me. Number 2, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And number 1, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. My top 10, we had Three Musketeers, Part 1, D'Artagnan. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, and we have Blackberry. At number 7, Dream Scenario. At number 6, John Wick 4. At number 5, The Holdovers. At number 4, Anatomy of a Fall. At number 3, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. At number 2, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. And at number 1, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So a combination with our films and Amrita's gives us our top 10 of A Good Person, Dream Scenario, Fair Play, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, John Wick 4, Anatomy of a Fall, Saltburn, Talk to Me, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. That is a broad spectrum of films, and I think that's a solid list.
Yeah, I think that's a very strong list. 2024.
That's it. We're rolling on. Right. Well, Andreas, thank you very much for today. Really, really appreciate it. It's always good to talk positive about movies rather than just slating them as we did in our last one. So, thank you. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? Anything you'd like to promote or talk about while we're here?
You could. I mean, first, I'd just like to add that I'm very honored that you guys have me in your WhatsApp group, allow me to listen to my rants, which, I love the rants.
We're here for the rants.
And accept me for who I am. Even sometimes I can be a miserable git, and have me on the show. It was so much fun. In terms of what to promote, Instagram, go to my band at This Is The Business. And if you love 80s dance music, then that's just kind of a combination of funk, disco, groove, boogie, Prince, Michael Jackson, all that good shit. Then check them out at This Is The Business.
Yeah, and make sure, and yeah, This Is The Business. Yeah, Andreas is being modest here. He's dropped an album in 2023. Yeah. So, you know, it's available on iTunes and Spotify. So make sure you go check it out. It is, it's a great album, man. You know, well done on all that hard work.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man.
Fantastic. Great. That's absolutely great. And yeah, thank you for being on. And thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate you. Thank you for making it to the end, whether you watched it all the way through or just skipped to the end. We thank you. And like I say, as always, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe. Make sure you share the podcast as well. Let people know what we're about. And well, that's it from us until next time. So until next week, see ya and peace out.
Peace out.